This morning's scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture.
I wonder if you would bow your head with me for a word of prayer as we begin the sermon. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and I pray that you would use this time and that it would be useful to those who listen. In Christ's name, amen. I recently read part of an article by a Harvard psychologist. His name is Daniel Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert took data from the Gallup organization, and then he talked about what was happening in American society. And this is a quote from that article. He said the data showed that Americans are smiling less, they're worrying more than they were a year ago. Happiness is down, sadness is up. We're getting less sleep, we're smoking more cigarettes. Depression is on the rise. Now there's a happy thought, isn't it? Dr. Gilbert initially thought the problem was financial. You know, finances are a key metric in human happiness, and so he thought maybe that was the problem. The data showed something else, though. The data showed that what the problem was uncertainty. Uncertainty. People weren't sure about what was going to happen next. They weren't sure what was going to happen with their job. They weren't sure what was going to happen at home. There was just a lot of uncertainty. And when people don't have the ability to project or predict the future, depression goes up, happiness goes down. Professor Gilbert pointed out, he added some to this conclusion. He said, he looked at that data and he said there's studies that talk about this. There's one that, there's a Dutch study. And in this experiment, the first group was told that during this experiment, you're going to experience an intense shock 20 times. Now, friends, my question is, who stayed for the study? That's what I want to know. But nonetheless, the study was done. First group, you're going to be shocked, an intense shock 20 times. Second group, you're going to be given a slight shock 17 times and an intense shock 3 times. Now, again, I don't know who they got to do this, but those are the two groups. Now, the question is this, which group had the hardest time? Well, they took people. They took their pulse. They measured how much they were sweating. They had some other physical indicators of stress. And here's what they found. The group that knew it was going to be shocked the same way 20 times had less stress than the group that knew it was only going to be shocked intently 3 times. And the difference was this: uncertainty. When you don't know what's going to happen when, it's really hard for us. It produces stress in us. Dr. Gilbert summarized, an uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present with nothing to do but wait. Our national gloom is real enough, but it isn't a matter of insufficient funds, it's a matter of insufficient security. Now, here's my question. When do you think that article was released? I mean, what do you think, maybe February? Maybe it goes back to September of last year. Friends, that article was released in 2009, but it feels like it's true today, doesn't it? And here's the reason. we all know intuitively that when we are put in a time of uncertainty, our stress level goes up. We know it's just harder for us. Now, a few weeks ago at Easter, I stated that I had never experienced a year when I valued the knowledge of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ more than this year. I said, I'm not talking about the resurrection as a parable or a principle or some vague truth. I'm talking about the belief that Jesus literally rose from the dead and found new life. For me, this year, that has given me a certainty in the midst of uncertainty. And it's not just Jesus' physical resurrection, it's the thought that Jesus gives us the power to have new life as well. It gives us a hope that we can endure. We can endure any day, any month, any season, any year, whether it's a time of certainty or whether it's a time of uncertainty. Now, we're in a series called Reentry right now. We've been in this for a couple of weeks now, and we've been thinking about how do we move into the future coming out of this very uncertain time. This week, it was announced that 50% of us have received a vaccination. Many people are feeling more hopeful right now, more certain right now, than they felt in a very, very long time because they can sort of feel like, you know what, things are becoming more secure. What I want you to think about is the importance of hope in a time of reentry. I want you to think about hope. Do you have hope? Have you held on to hope? Is it hard to feel hope at this time? We're looking at the disciples who gathered together after Easter, and we're asking ourselves this: how did they hold on to hope and wonder in their uncertainty? How did they do that? Hope is our belief that God can act in our lives and that God is working every day for good in the world. The ways of God are not our ways. We can't predict what God's going to do or not going to do. The mind of God is vast. It's pretty clear that the God who created the universe is not a being that I'm going to understand fully, given the difference between the mind of God and my mind. Maybe yours is better, but I think we all have the same problem. But I'll tell you what I do understand and what I can comprehend. I can comprehend God's power. I can comprehend God's goodness. I can comprehend, to some degree, God's deep love for all of us. We believe that God made the world and therefore has an interest in it and every created being on the planet. Now, we find hope hard because uncertainty begins to rob us of our hope. In fact, most of us have three voices in our head. And these three voices speak into our mind, and these voices rob us of hope. And the three voices are these. There is a hope, an inner voice. Three inner voices. There is a voice of fear, there is a voice of judgment, and there is a voice of cynicism. And the voice of fear says, God is so distant, God doesn't see anything. The voice of judgment says, you're so insignificant, God doesn't care about you. The voice of cynicism says, you know what, God wants to be adored and worshiped, but what's God do for us? What's God do about these issues, these problems? And those three voices rob us of hope because they diminish the certainty of God's power and God's provision in our lives. They diminish the sense that God is present with us and that God cares about us and cares about the world in which we live and is calling us to join in the effort of doing good in the world. When we lose hope, we gain uncertainty. And when we experience a lot of uncertainty, we find it very difficult to go through life. And the reason is we lay down the belief that God has power to work in the world. We discard the certainty that God wants to do good in our lives. And the more we discard it, the more uncertain everything becomes. Hope is the calm certainty that God is already at work, that God's doing things we don't even know and cannot even imagine. Now, I believe that hope leads us to a sense of wonder at God's provision and God's power. And wonder gives us eyes to see and ears to hear what others fail to notice in their gloomy lives. Now, it's not yet Pentecost Sunday, but we heard the Pentecost text this morning because we're looking at how the church re-entered life after the resurrected Christ ascended into heaven and then left them there on their own. And they had to figure it out. And friends, that was a very uncertain time. They knew about God's power. They knew about the resurrection. They had all the data points. And they had them in a way that was closer. They were eyewitnesses to these things. But at the same time, it was incredibly uncertain. So I want you to notice what they did. First, they did what Jesus told them. Jesus said, go and wait. So they went into an upper room and they went together. They didn't isolate. They didn't go off by themselves. They found, if you will, their worshiping community. And because they were together, they could encourage one another. They could calm one another. They could remember the power of God that they had seen in the life of Christ. And I'm sure that's what they did. They talked about those stories. Well, as they did that, when they gathered together, verse 2 in Acts 2 says this, suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit allowed them. So what you see is the power of God began to happen in their lives, and it gave them abilities they didn't even know they had. Now, as you and I re-enter, I want you to remember that the Spirit of the living God is falling afresh on us right now. We've got a lot of uncertainty. And yet, we are certain that God is with us. We're certain that the Holy Spirit's presence in the church wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It's still with us today. It's been with us the whole time. And so the first thing I want you to remember is this. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. When we know that God is with us, we believe that God is working for good in our lives and in the world, and it rekindles hope inside us. We actually believe that we can work for good with God. I think about the music we sing. Think about some of the songs we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. You know that song, right? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. But why? Well, the song goes on to say, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. We have another song that we sing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And sometimes we sing that same line a few times. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And friends, when we sing these songs, what we're inviting the Holy Spirit to do is to come into our lives and bring us the certainty of God's power. The great thing about the Christian life is knowing I'm not in this alone. I'm not by myself. I don't know about you, but I know people that actually live this way. They reach out every day and they make a space for the Holy Spirit. They pray, they have times of silence, they read the scripture until, and they don't just read it like they punch it out. They read it until they find something that's meaningful to them, something that's speaking to their lives. And then they think about that. They jot it down, they take notes. Sometimes they memorize it. They find ways to invite the Holy Spirit into their lives. I've got a friend. And I'll tell you, he goes nowhere alone. When he goes into a sales meeting and he's trying to sell something to a customer, he's not just on his own. He feels that the Spirit of God is with him and he's excited to meet them. He's excited about who they are. He wants to know all about them. He has the same curiosity that the Lord has in that other person's life. And when he talks about what he sells, he does it with a confidence that he's not on his own. When you talk to him, if you run into him in a grocery store, he wants to know about your life. You can feel the glow of the Spirit with him. And you know what? If he gets sick, if he's ill, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about how the great physician is walking with him. He's talking about how he's not doing it on his own. And it's powerful. It's powerful because when people have a sense that the presence of God is with them, they carry hope everywhere they go. The Holy Spirit gives them that hope. So it's not that they self-generate. It's that they acknowledge that God is present and they make room for God. The second thing that happens in this is that our hope, when we have that hope, it creates curiosity and wonder from others. And we see that in the scripture passage. But have you ever noticed that when we're confident in God's presence, when we're hopeful about God's love, other people wonder what's going on in our life? It's like you're smiling too much, you know? It's like you're up to something. Why? Because you're walking around and you have what Jesus said, we're eyes to see and ears to hear what God's doing around you. And because of that, you're walking through life and you're sort of upbeat. You have a bounce in your step. And I don't mean that there's some false bravado or you're just always happy. What I mean is, no matter whether the times are really good or not so good, you know you're not alone. And other people see it and they want to know what's going on. It's in the passage in verse 6, it says this, when they heard this sound, meaning the rush of the wind, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everybody heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised. They were amazed, saying, look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them, how can each of us hear them speaking in our own native language? Well, God was giving them a power to do something they couldn't do on their own. Have you ever had that power? Have you ever wondered, how am I going to say this to this other person so they can hear me? And you prayed about it. And after the conversation, you thought, I can't believe how well that just went. Now, it may not happen every time, but can you remember the time? I know that's happened in my life. And I felt like God made a way when there was no way. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a friend. She is one of these resurrection-believing, Holy Spirit-empowered, Jesus-loving people. And guess what? She is a joy to be around. I mean, she's just a joy to be around. She is positive. She is kind. She is a problem solver. And she brings energy into every single room she enters. When she comes into the room, people just liven up. She's fun, she's funny, she's joyful, and frankly, it always seems like she's up to something, and you sort of want to know what she's up to and get in on it with her. Why? I think it's the glow of the Holy Spirit, you know? And what's the difference? What's making that difference? Well, we all know that we all have different personalities. We all know that everybody's a little different, but friends, can I ask you something? Has anybody ever described you or me the way I just described that friend of mine? And have they done it recently? Maybe you'd say, hey, Tom, people used to describe me like that, but they haven't for some time. Why? Because maybe this time of uncertainty has brought you low. And what I want to say is, as you're coming out and you're re-entering, hope has got to be equipment that you bring, and hope is a decision that we make. It's a decision about what we believe. It's a decision about inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives. And so while different personalities reflect, you know, a different sense of buoyancy, and I understand that, it is also true that hope is a decision that you and I make. And I'm asking you this, do you bring the glow of heaven with you? Or do you bring like the haze of hell? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you sort of, when you go into the room, does it all go down about 5 degrees? And everybody's like, you know, what do you bring? Because what you bring is your decision. It's the decisions you make in your spiritual life. It's the decisions you make when you're with people. It's the decisions we have. And the question I'm asking you is, as you re-enter, is your life in Christ bringing you the hope that is bringing other people a sense of, where did she get that? Where did he find that? Because can I tell you something? Other people want that right now. because they're enduring tremendous uncertainty. They've been enduring it for a long time. And what if you could be the person who heard this question? Hey, you know, I'm just wondering, how do you do it? Like you're upbeat, you're positive, you're hopeful. How do you do that? And what if you could just respond very simply? I think it's my faith in God. I want to just tell you something. I'm not alone. When you see me walk in the room, I am not by myself. God's Spirit is with me and with you right now. And I've got some practices in my life that help me focus on that. And I believe it. And it's been a huge blessing to me. Friends, we can have that conversation. We can share our faith with other people. I know you can do that. But when you bring hope, when you bring the presence of God's Spirit, other people begin to have a sense of wonder about what is happening in your life. So have hope in what God is doing and be curious about what God is up to in your life. As Psalm 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We have to believe in a God who is bigger than us, a God who is greater than us, but a God who loves us more than we can imagine. So we can't let the events of the past several months and years steal our hope. We have to look for goodness. We have to look for, where has God been at work? Where's God been in my life? I don't know if you've ever seen the play Our Town. Our Town is a play that's been done a lot. Maybe you've read it or seen it. There's this compelling scene near the very end. Now, in this play, there's a character, one of the main characters is Emily Webb. And in the play, we follow the narrator, the stagehand narrator. He helps us see Emily's life. We see Emily as a child. We see her as an adolescent. We see her meet her husband when they were young. We see them get married. We see her parents. We see Emily's life in Our Town. And then sadly, we see something else. We see Emily when she dies in childbirth. And it's terribly sad, as reality is. And Emily dies, and Emily's spirit returns. And so you're looking at the front of a stage, and there's a cemetery, and people that are deceased, they're sitting in chairs. And Emily walks up to the chairs, and she sees the people that she's known throughout her life who went on before her, and she takes them in, and she wants to go over. She wants to go into the town and see her life as it was when she was younger. And the others all warn her. They say, "Don't do it, don't do it." And Emily goes anyway, and Emily sees her life. Emily sees her parents. She sees her neighbors, she sees her friends, she sees her husband, but all at a distance now, because she's a spirit. And Emily takes in the sheer beauty and wonder of her life. Emily takes in every sight and every sound, every tender grace, every gentle touch. And it begins to overwhelm her. It's too much for her, because what she realizes is she never saw the goodness of her life while she was alive. She never took it all in. She never saw it the way she's seeing it now. And it overwhelms her, and she runs away, understanding why the others told her to never go in. Friends, you and I want to see the goodness of our lives now. Today. Like, just look around the room you're in right now. And you see the beauty of the shelter that God's given you, or the provision God's made. Look out a window, or if you're outside, you know, just take a look around at this glorious spring that's been breaking out. Look at the faces of the people near you. See the goodness of God. It is abounding. And I ask you to do that because if we will experience the miracle of life while we're living, we can share that miracle with others, and then we will know that we are not alone, that the God who's made all of this possible is still with us, that the Holy Spirit is among us and falling down on us today, that the Spirit of the living God is falling afresh. And then this last thing, that hope will lead to a curiosity about the future. Because a lot of people right now that I hear, they have fear of the future. fear. But what if we had curiosity? What if we could just be curious about that? Look at what happened to them. In this account of the early church, verse 12, they were all surprised and bewildered, and some asked each other, "What does this mean?" And right now, that's the question I want you to be asking. You've been through about over a year of a pandemic. What does it mean? What does it mean that you entered into that space, that you endured all that uncertainty? But friends, we've been walking with the certainty that God is with us as we take this journey. If we re-enter with a curiosity about the future that has hope, well, then we will put aside a distorted view of the past, a distorted view of life, and the future may begin to feel more certain because we know God is with us in it. So, welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. Be a person who speaks and who demonstrates the goodness of your life so that others begin to ask you, what on earth is going on with you? And then you can talk about the Lord. And finally, as you share the source of your hope, do it with a sense of curiosity about what's next. Because the Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. And of that, you can be certain.